Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to 1 Samuel chapter 20. I have a question for you before we get started. How many of you guys have friends? Show hands, I have friends. Okay. How many of you have people that are good friends? How many of you have people that you thought were good friends but were not good friends? And how many people had friends and then you realize, no, these are not my friends? How many people have had that happen? Show hands. If you haven't had it happen, probably eventually you will, unfortunately. But it does happen to people. Well, in 1 Samuel 20, we have a situation going on. King David had this really good friend. His name was Jonathan. And Jonathan was the son of King Saul. Now, this is before David was a king. This is when David was still a young man. And there was a king named Saul, and his son Jonathan was David's best friend. They were good friends. And Jonathan should have been king, but he wasn't called by God to be the king. And so there had to be this change. Something happened, and David and Jonathan couldn't stay together anymore. And that can happen to everybody. Sometimes people move away, and they move away from their friends. Or something happens and they can't stay together with their friends. And that's unfortunate. People are usually very upset about that. But in verse 42, Jonathan said to David, "Go in peace." Which was an interesting thing to say because David was leaving because Jonathan's dad, the king, wanted to kill David. And he tried to kill David on many occasions. And David learned that the king was trying to kill him, so the king's son, Jonathan, David's friend, warned him, and he says to him, "Go in peace. Since we have both sworn in the name of the Lord, saying, 'May the Lord be between you and me, and between your descendants, or your children, and my children.'" Well, this was a very special thing. He said to David, and they made this agreement, "We're going to keep God between us because we are friends." How do you keep friendships from going bad? Have you ever thought about that? Because you will experience this eventually. Everybody does. And that's not to make you sad. That's to prepare you for the reality of what sometimes happens. How do you keep friendships from going bad? Well, this is it right here. Jonathan and David never saw each other again after this point. But they were lifelong friends, nevertheless. When David had gone, Jonathan was still a faithful friend to David. And then when Jonathan got killed in battle, David was still a faithful friend to Jonathan. As a matter of fact, Jonathan had a son. His legs were paralyzed. And he couldn't do much. And David, because of Jonathan, when Jonathan died, said, "Whoever is left of Jonathan's family, bring them to me." And the person who was left of Jonathan's family was a man named Mephibosheth. And he was Jonathan's son who was paralyzed. And they brought him to him. And David said, "For the sake of my friend Jonathan, I'm going to take care of you. You're going to eat at my table every single day. You're going to be with me." Basically, Jonathan said to him, "I'm going to not replace your dad, but be like your dad in my relationship to you." This was a very good thing for Jonathan's son. Because in those days, if one king was gone and another king came in, that could be dangerous. But in this case, David said, "No, Jonathan's my friend and we're keeping God between us. Even though he's not here, we're keeping God between us." Now, what does it mean to keep God between you? Because really, keeping God between you is what makes a friend a friend. You want to know how to be a friend? I mean, a really good friend? Keep God between you and everyone else. And then you will be a really good friend. You can't control what other people do. but you can control what you do. So you make a point of keeping God between you and everybody else. In 1 John 4:8, the Bible says God is love. And so the way that you keep God between you and everybody else is to keep the love of God between you and everybody else. There's three things in particular about the love of God that are very important for making friendships last. Number one, in Hebrews 13:4, love is very patient. So you're patient with your friends. Your friends do something you don't like, you don't get mad at them. You're patient with them. Number two, you're kind to them. That's an extension of the patience. You don't get mad at them. Instead, you show them kindness. People show kindness in all kinds of ways. But you show them kindness in whatever way is right for the situation. And number three, the big thing, and this is a really big thing, is you don't think anything evil of them. Somebody does something and you always assume the best about your friends. You never think evil of a friend. Why? Because you're keeping love between you and your friend. If you keep love between you and your friend, you're going to be a good friend. That's what makes a friend to be a friend. In Proverbs 17:17, in the first part of the verse, the Bible says, a friend loves at all times. That means they're patient, they're kind, and they never think evil at all times. It doesn't matter if it's a good day or a bad day. It doesn't matter if somebody does something they like or if they do something they don't like. You love at all times. That means you're patient, you're kind, and you never think evil at all times. How many of you want lots of friends? Show your hands. I want lots of friends. People often want lots of friends. But I'm telling you something. Lots of friends is not necessarily the best thing always. Because friends may not always be friends. In Proverbs 18:24, there's a way that the English language works that doesn't always represent the original meaning. It says there, a man who has friends must prove himself friendly. That's not what it means. But that's what everybody will tell you. If you want friends, you have to be friendly. And it kind of makes sense to us. Like, who's going to like us if we're unfriendly? But that's not what it's saying. In fact, what it is saying, and the Amplified translation of the Bible brings this out the best, is that the man of many friends, or a friend of the world, and that's to say the world system, will prove himself a bad friend. That's what it actually means. Why will a person who has many friends prove themselves a bad friend? Because think about what it takes to get many friends. If you want many friends, you need all kinds of people to like you. And so people who are looking for many friends, they're going to start doing things just so people will like them. Well, that's not a good move at all. And eventually they'll start doing things that God doesn't like, just so people will like them. And once they get to that point, they'll no longer love their friends. Friendship will become like money. They're trying to buy something to get something in return. And that's not friendship. What makes a friend a friend? The fact that they keep God between them and other people. That's what makes a friend a friend. The fact that the love of God is always present between them and other people. That's how you're a really good friend. Will other people be good friends to you? You can't control that. Some of them will, some of them won't. That's just the way it goes in the world. The ones that are, you're just very grateful for them. And the ones that aren't, you know what you do with them? You can do one of two things. You can get hurt, or you can be patient and kind and think no evil. See, when you keep love between you and other people, it protects you. It doesn't just protect them, it protects you. And so if you actually have God between them and you, even if they do terrible things, you're still protected. Because God is there, and He's protecting you, and the way God thinks is there, and it's protecting you. You don't get nearly as hurt when you keep love between you and other people. And that's the only way you can really be a friend. Now, David, like I was saying to you guys, was the enemy, not by his choice, but he was the enemy of King Saul. King Saul hated David. And the reason why he hated him was because he was jealous of him. David was a guy who had the respect of all the people, and albeit he wasn't a naturally talented guy, but he trusted God so much that he was not afraid of anything, to the point where he even took on a lion and a bear and he killed them by hand when they tried to steal his sheep. So can you imagine this? You see a lion and you go up against this lion. How many people, when they see a lion, would go up? Most people would run, or at least hide, or get in the tree or something, right? Not David. He sees a lion is going after his sheep. He's going after the lion. And he said, "You're going to give me back my sheep." I mean, this is a bold guy. And then he does the same thing with a bear. Well, bears are known for mauling people. They kill people. And David doesn't care. He's going after the bear. Why? Because he trusts God. He knows that in anything, God is going to always take care of him. And that made him really brave. Well, when the people saw this, because it also meant he was very brave on a battlefield, even as a young man, he became a fantastic soldier, and he was serving the king. And other soldiers respected him so much, they would follow David. And he'd go into battle with these guys, and they all wanted to fight on his side with him because David was so impressive, because he was so brave. That really bothered the king, because that became famous, and David was getting more respect as a soldier than the king was. And so the king became jealous, and he hated David. And he tried to kill him. And he tried to kill him on several occasions, but there were occasions when David had the opportunity to kill the king, and he wouldn't. And one of these occasions happened in a cave. And the king was resting in a cave. But what the king didn't know is that David was hiding in the same cave. And the king went in there to rest. And as the king was resting in this cave, David snuck up behind him. And he took a little bit of the king's robe and he cut it off. The king didn't even know he was there. And so he had this piece of robe in his hand. The king goes back out with all his men. And then David comes out and he calls to the king. He said, "Look, king, I've got your robe. I could have very easily done terrible things to you and you wouldn't have even known it. But I didn't." And he says in 1 Samuel 24:12, "The Lord judge between me and you." And he's talking to the king here. I don't have to think evil of you. I don't have to judge you. I don't have to criticize you. I don't have to find your faults. I don't have to do anything like that. Even though you're trying to kill me, the Lord's going to judge between you and me because I'm not trying to do you any harm, king. I'm a faithful friend to you, and you don't even know it. So the Lord judge between me and you. And then he says to him, "And the Lord is going to take revenge on my behalf." And then he says, "But my hand is not going to touch you." Well, that's a heck of a thing to say to somebody who's trying to kill you. And he's actively trying to kill you. They say, "I'm not even going to touch you." And then in verse 15 of the same chapter, he said, "God is going to plead my cause and he's going to deliver me from you." He said, "King, you're trying to kill me, but God's taking care of me. And because God's taking care of me, I have the liberty to be a friend to you, even though you're an enemy to me." And you know what? It worked. It worked beautifully. David stayed right with God. He kept God between him and the king. And David was a good friend to the king, even though the king was not a good friend to David. But God took care of David in it. And ultimately, David became the king. Ultimately, when somebody does that, and this is always the way it works, when somebody tries to do evil against you, the evil they plot against you comes back to them, not from you, but from God. And then God promotes you because they try to do evil to you. So you have liberty to be a friend to anybody, but you have to actually be a friend. Not just what the world says, not somebody who, oh, just so you like me. No, it's not like that at all. You keep God between you and other people. You keep the love of God and the character of God in the forefront of your thinking when you're interacting or talking to or in any way dealing with other people, and you're going to be a good friend to them. And it's what you really want to do. Whether they're friends to you or not, you have no control over that. But you be a good friend to them, and then God will honor you in it. You guys understand? Okay, that's it for today.